morning.
Good morning.
Trust and pray everybody is doing well. First of all, we want to welcome you to Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. And I know that some of you all may be sitting there going, I do understand what state I'm in. I do understand what city I'm in. Good. We're just testing you on that, number one. But number two, we do also have an online audience that joins us from many places within the United States and then also outside of the United States as well. So we want to welcome each and every one of you here. For those that are here, give somebody a smile and a wave. Again, we're not necessarily asking you to shake hands, but a warm smile. Don't growl at anybody or anything. Just make it look like the coffee has kicked in. Have the choir with smiles, smiles. The wind ensemble with smiles, smiles. There we go. Because it's a good day to be alive. Amen?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. God really, really is good. So we also want to welcome our online audience. And I want to just say that, as I've said before, there are many, many moving parts and pieces to make a Sunday service work. A lot of things that people don't see behind the scenes and in so many different ways. But I'm just so grateful for Dr. John Cazito, who sits back there. He interacts with our online audience. The biggest thing we want you guys to know that you are a part of us as well. We know that you may not be able to be with us, but we are glad that you're here. So for those of you who are part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to somebody you see in the feed. Be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito. And once again, I'm grateful for all that he does to make our folks that are online feel like there's somebody there for them, because there is somebody there for them. We're grateful for that. As we come together today, I want to stress, one of the things I've been really wanting to do here lately is stress that we prepare our hearts for worship. Now, that always sounds good. I mean, how many times have we come up and said, let's prepare our hearts for worship? That's kind of like a church statement. Not that it's a bad one, but what happens is we can be so redundant with things that they begin to lose their meaning, don't we? I don't want that to happen here. I want us to truly prepare our hearts for worship. I know that there are a lot of things that are going on. People have schedules to keep. There's stresses. There's concerns of the day. But I'm going to ask you for these few moments to put those things aside, to truly focus, to truly concentrate on what the Lord wants to say to you. So may we prepare our hearts for worship in song as Brad comes to lead us.
Good morning. So blessed to have so many musicians here. You'll see we have, we'd love to have others as you're visiting or others in the congregation and the choir and the band. So we're so thankful for that and for Jim's leadership. Today we're singing hymn number 395, God of Grace and God of Glory. And all of our songs, it's always great to be thinking about not just singing, but the rich text. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. Please join me, 395, as we stand and sing.
Right.
Father, as we come into your house, we do so, Lord, preparing our hearts to meet you in this place. And Lord, we lift up our voices to you as praise. We lift up our voices to you as a prayer. Father, we thank you for music that gives us an opportunity to worship you. Lord, I pray that we will continue to do so as we prepare our hearts and we continue to worship through our meeting and our time that we have together. I pray that you will speak to us in a great, loud, and a mighty way. Lord, we realize and know that your word promises us that you have something special, a message in store for each and every one of us that is suitable to our lives where they are right now. Lord, may we truly be seekers today, and may we truly hear what the Holy Spirit would have to say to us. That would be everything that we need in our life. Lord, you give us the promise that you are our everything. So speak to us today, Lord, and give us ears to hear what that Spirit has to say. Bless our time, Lord, as we continue to worship together. May you be lifted up that you might truly draw all men unto you. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
very often read. It's not very often preached from. It's one of those that some of y'all are going, Lamentations. I know that's in the Bible somewhere, but I got to figure out where it is. So I'm going to stall for a minute. I'll give you time to find that particular passage in your Bible. But when we look at Lamentations, when you first hear that, what does it make you think? What does that conjure up? Lamentations from the word lament. You know, that's what a lot of people think about, and that's exactly what is taking place and what is going on throughout this book. You know, we can identify with troubled times, can't we? You know, whether it's because of what we've gone through over the past couple years, or that compounded with many other things in our lives that can create issues. This is a world full of tribulations. The Lord told us that was the way it was going to be. He said it was not going to be outside of that until we have the opportunity to meet Him in glory, where everything is going to be the way God initially and originally intended for it to be. So we can take heart in knowing that there are going to be trials and there are going to be tribulations along the way. Now, as I think about this, I think about Jeremiah, and you know, I've never figured out God. I'm glad that I can't figure out God, because if I could, then He wouldn't be God. However, I look at certain situations in the Bible and I think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a guy that just loved his people. I mean, he was the guy who was out there. He was preaching hard. He was preaching from the heart. He truly wanted them to repent. I mean, he was giving everything that he had, and nobody cared. Think about that for a minute. Nobody cared. In fact, yeah, there was a point in the time where they literally tried to kill him. So here was a guy who was putting his heart into everything. So you look at that and you say, well, that's just kind of sad when you think about it. Then yeah, I always make the comparison to Jonah. Jonah was a guy who couldn't stand the Ninevites. Now remember, we're doing a compare and contrast. Jeremiah loved the people, had his heart into it. Jonah got a ride to Nineveh, which he didn't want to go with to start with. He told you straight up front in the scriptures that he couldn't stand those people. And yet when he preaches there, they all repent. Every last one of them. Whole town repents. I've often thought about that. And instead of being joyful, instead of being happy, Jonah's mad. Jonah's like, well, I knew you were going to do that, God. I knew that these people were going to repent. I knew exactly what was going to take place. And, oh, I could see him having one of those little fits where he kicks his feet and stomps on the ground and has a little temper tantrum. Now, you would sit back and think, that just doesn't seem fair, does it? You know, it's like, God, why didn't you just put Jonah over Let's not talk about where it'd be a good place to put Jonah based on his attitude, but why didn't you put Jeremiah in a place like that? Why didn't you let Jeremiah see these kind of victories? Because his heart was in it. His heart was in it to win it. But yet in the midst of everything that was going on, and most of us can identify with circumstances and situations that are taking place in life, and sometimes you just feel, and I'm going to use this term, wore out. You ever use that term? You just wore out, worn down. You just feel like, man, what could happen next? But you don't want to ask that, because some people will take that as a dare or a challenge. It's like, it's just, I'm tired. You've heard people say that before. I'm tired spiritually. I'm tired physically. I'm tired of everything not working the way it's supposed to. And therein lies a problem. How's it supposed to work? Let me make you one promise. It is working exactly like God is allowing it to work, no matter what it is, okay? So we consider the circumstance and the situation of Jeremiah. He's preaching to his people. His people are paying like zero attention to what is going on. And when we begin to read this passage, it almost sounds somewhat dreary as we begin. I'm just going to take a few verses. Lamentations chapter 3. And let's look at verses 18 to 21 to start with. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning with verse 18, it says, And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. That right there is a recipe for somebody who is having a rough time, isn't it? That right there is telling you, when you read this, I mean, if a friend were to tell you something like this, you would probably be concerned about their mental well-being. You would probably be concerned about what their future would hold, particularly if it's somebody that you love. Have you ever had that before when somebody makes a comment to you that really just knocks you back? You're like, I'm worried about so-and-so because of what's taking place and what's going on. These are the words that are coming out. Yeah, I'm picturing Jeremiah along his path, and you know, you can only be positive so long before you kind of have a breakdown. Yeah, you've snapped before. You've been, you know, all of a sudden you've been the person who's been the catalyst for bringing smiles and joy, but every now and then you'll have a bad day, won't you? Every now and then you'll be like, well, what's the point? What's the use? I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to walk away. There was a lot of things that were taking place. There was a lot of things that were going on in his day, and there are a lot of things that are going on in your day and my day. But Jeremiah is lamenting over the downfall of the people. Imagine, he's been out there, he's doing the best he can, he's preaching as hard as he can. He is tired at the end of the day, and everybody's out there going, okay, yeah, whatever. Are you done yet? Listen, preacher, Jeremiah, it's getting close to lunchtime. Could you close out a little early so we could kind of get in line and beat everybody to the good eating places? Come on, help us out a little bit. See, one thing he realized was they may have been there present, but their heart wasn't in it. Now, I want to ask you something this morning as a challenge. You're here this morning, or you're tuned in this morning, but are you into it? Are you really here? Are you really seeking the Lord? Or are you like one of Jeremiah's people? Okay, whatever, hurry up. This is what we do. This will make mama proud. I'm here because, well, that's just what I do on Sunday, you know. But hurry up. Get done. Yet we're missing the whole point. Jeremiah is lamenting over his people. One of the things that he is seeing is he was seeing the chastening of God upon the people. Those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Those whom the Lord loves, he will not allow to get away with sin. He will not allow to get away with an indifferent attitude. The question is, are we conscious to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we listening to what he has to say? Or have we hardened our heart to the point that we just don't hear him anymore? Have we gotten to the point that Israel was in when the Lord had to get their attention? Jeremiah is preaching as hard as he can, and he is seeing that it is futile. He is seeing that the preaching is falling upon deaf ears, and he's giving his best, he is giving his all. And then back in chapter 1, we find out that the Lord had had enough. Remember, all of a sudden the nation went into captivity and no one seemed to care. I have a question this morning. Do you care? Now, but before you answer that hastily, you have to understand that action speaks far louder than words, doesn't it? What we do proves what we believe. Where we go, things we say, proves what is within us. So this morning, let me ask you, do you care? Do you care about your family, your friends? Do you care about your town, your county, your state? Do you care about the world that is lost and dying without the Lord? You see, we can share some of Jeremiah's tears. I hope we can. I hope that when we look at it, it is something that brings tears to our eyes rather than indifference. Glad it's them and not me. I mean, yeah, literally think about that for just a moment. I every time I think about that, I consider the Pharisee and the publican. Remember how that went? Remember what the Pharisee prayed? The Pharisee actually prayed, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like him. Now, that could go in a lot of ways. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like that guy, but it wasn't in a good way. You know, sometimes we can look at people around us and we should be counting our blessings, shouldn't we? Yeah, if you think you got it bad, look around you. You don't have to look far to find somebody who's got it worse than you do. But that wasn't what the Pharisee was doing. He was looking at him and saying, Lord, I am thankful that I'm not like that guy. No, he was proud. And see, if you remember, that also caused the public, and it says that he smote his breast and he cried out, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I think what the Lord was trying to get across is, you know, you need to be more like that guy because his heart was in the right place. His actions are in the right place. And he cares. See, I've come to the determination that when I look around in society today, even in the few years that I have spent on this earth, people just don't seem to care anymore, do they? I mean, it's not like it used to be when I was growing up. I'm sure that for you guys, you could say it's not like that as well. You know, we'll just turn the other way. I'm often reminded of the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember that one? As they pass by, how many times, you know, what is the attitude when you walk across the injured person on the road? Ooh, look, man, I got a full schedule. I don't have time. I'll catch you later. I'll send somebody back. Listen, all the ones that should have come to the aid of the person that was hurting were the ones that passed him by. And the one that would have been most likely to have passed him by was the one who stepped up and rendered aid. Jeremiah is torn up. His heart is just breaking because of the people. Could you imagine what his mental condition probably would have been then? Could you imagine how he must have felt like a failure? Based on the worldly view, he must have felt like a failure because he preached time after time after time and everybody rejected the Lord time after time after time through him. At what point, yeah, a lot of us would say, I ain't doing this no more. I'm done. What's the point? Have you been there at places in your life? I'm done. I'm reminded today, and I feel that it's pertinent for us to say this. Let me ask you this. If that's where you are today, I have a very important question to ask you that I want you to ponder, and I pray the Holy Spirit will have you ponder this in your heart. And this is it. Here's the question. Why do you do what you do? Why is it that you serve in that particular area of ministry? Why is it that you do what you do? Listen, if you say it's because for other people, that sounds good and that sounds healthy, but it's not. The reason that you need to serve the Lord in the areas that He called you is for Him. That's why you do what you do. You remember before when I've told you many times that I've used it because it made such an impression on my life about Harold Callahan, who taught the old men's Sunday school class in the church where I was growing up. How many of y'all remember me talking about Harold? And I said before I would go, and I can talk about that. Even if they watch it, all of them are with the Lord right now, so I don't have to worry about repercussion. But I'd go by, and they met in the kitchen. The old men met in the kitchen. And that's because that's where the coffee pot was. And old Harold Callahan, he'd be teaching that Sunday school class with all of his heart. He was just the most bubbly guy for the Lord. I mean, he was just wonderful. And I loved that old guy, Mr. Harold. And I can still remember, I said, I came back from college one weekend, and the Sunday school class wasn't out yet, and they had that, I call it the kitchen door, the two-way swinging door. And it had a transom glass in it, and I walked by, and I looked in, and I saw Harold teaching that Sunday school class with all of his heart. And I looked at the class, and those old guys, half of them were asleep, the other half was spilling coffee on themselves, and I mean, it just looked like maybe what you'd think it looked like. I mean, they're drooling all over each other, some of them can't hear, they're hollering at one. Yeah, and I thought to myself, how discouraging would that be to be a teacher giving your all in all to this crowd? By the way, I loved all those guys, but I was like, man, Harold's teaching his heart out, and it just looks like y'all don't care. And I said something to Harold after Sunday school. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, how do you do that? Sunday after Sunday, you go in there and you teach those men God's word with all of the vigor and vitality that I have seen even in a young man. You do it with joy. How do you do that knowing that these guys aren't hearing the word you're saying? And I still remember he just looked at me and he kind of reared back a little bit and he smiled and he laughed. He said, I don't teach for them. He said, I teach because that's what God called me to do. And that happens to be my audience. You see, remember the question I asked you a minute ago? Why are you doing what you are doing? If you're doing it because God has called you to do it, then do it with all of vim, vigor, and vitality, regardless of what it may look like this way. See, what you're going to be held accountable for is how faithful you were to the ministry God called you to. That's what you're going to be held accountable for. See, we're not responsible for the results. We're only responsible to follow, right? So Jeremiah is sitting there in that sort of a condition. I'll call it the old men's Sunday school class condition. They're spilling coffee on each other. Really, the reason they were there is because their wives drug them and made them come down there, but that was where the coffee pot was, and it gave them a little bit of a break. I wouldn't say that's all of them, but, you know, sometimes. But you get where I'm going with that. And Mr. Harold just in there teaching his heart out. He has seen, you know, God's people not repent. He has seen God's people being taken into captivity, and he sees that no one seems to have any care whatsoever. Look around in our society today. Do people care about spiritual things anymore like they used to? No. You know, Sunday's just another day. So let's just crowd Jesus out of Sunday. I remember days when Sunday really was about church. It didn't have to compete with business. Businesses closed down. If you didn't have groceries to eat, you were going to starve till Monday. Yeah, or you better find something in that cabinet because you just didn't do that. And then all of a sudden, ball practice becomes something that happens on Sunday. All of a sudden, we've got other things that need to happen on Sunday, and it crowds out the Lord. It was a subtle thing. It's just moved its way in, and we've allowed that to happen. When I say we've allowed it to happen, what is it personal in your heart or your life? I have said this to adults many, many times, and I've caught a lot of flack for it. But the things that your children will find important are the things that are important to you. You know, if something else takes place of being in the Lord's house with the Lord's people, then as Satan will keep on putting those things right out there for you. And then what happens is people later on say, well, preacher, I don't understand why my kids don't want to go to church. I said, because they didn't go to church when they were younger because you allowed things to take that place in their life. And only what is important to you will be important to them. Parents, we got a big task, don't we? Ouch. Why do you think I wore steel-toed boots today? Because I don't preach at you. I preach with you. Because the same things apply to me. Jeremiah is in a mess. His heart is in a mess. We can share those tears of Jeremiah. Look at the moral condition of our land. Look at the United States of America's moral condition. Look at the crime. Look at the drugs. Look at everything that just continues to get worse. Look at the cold conditions of even churches today. How pitiful is that? Now, when you sit back and you think about it, I'm talking about compare it back. Most of us have been in or around church at some point in our lives. It's changed, hadn't it? It's changed. God has not changed. The message has not changed. So what's changed? We have as a society. See, we can share Jeremiah's tears for the people. But yet in the midst of it, let me go back because I just want to highlight something for you again. Let's go back to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 18. We're hearing his heart. And he says, verse 18 says, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Let me translate that. He's saying, I'm tired. I'm discouraged. Verse 19, remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. He's crying out to the Lord. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Boy, there's a recipe for depression, isn't it? Yay! Boy, this is some uplifting, encouraging scriptures this morning in the Lord's house, aren't they? No, they're not. Until, right in the middle of this, he changes gears. Now go back and look with me at verse 21. Coming right out of verse 20, where he's talked about where his heart is, into verse 21, he says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Not hope like it might or might not happen. It's a different kind of hope. It says, verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." Did you get that? "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Now, some of you old timers, what do those verses remind you of? Nothing.
Don't care.
What's it remind you of? Let me give you a hint. How many of you all grew up singing hymns? Does this remind you of one? Which one? "Great is thy faithfulness." Now, remember what I said a moment ago. I said, when we come together, you know I could preach all day. I don't need filler. I don't need fluff. We don't sing because we need something. We sing because it's an act of worship. Now, when we think about "great is thy faithfulness," this is where it comes from. This is where the hymn comes from. Let me just give you some of the verse that when you sing it, listen, it needs to come from our heart, not from our lips, but this is what it says. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Y'all remember that? Remember what I said before? When we sing, we don't sing from our lips. When you heard it from a different way, you heard me say it because, Lord have mercy, you don't want me to sing it. But did that mean something? Did you ponder what that song is meaning, that hymn is meaning, when you heard it that way? See, too many times we go on autopilot, don't we? Great is thy faithfulness. Listen, how faithful has God been in your life? How faithful has God been through the heartache, through the sorrows? How faithful has God been when it looked like this world was on its way to hell, plain and simple? Has it discouraged you? Has it made you want to give up? You know what? For a lot of people, it has. A lot of people have given up, but it's not too late. A lot of people have said, I just can't believe this. Everything is lost. We'll never be the same. Well, I'll tell you one thing you're probably right about. You will never be the same. But that doesn't mean that you can't be better than you've ever been. Sometimes God has to destroy what we think is good so we can find what He has that's great. Think about old Jeremiah. There's triumph. He brings the verses of triumph after he kind of spills his heart out there. There's this burst of delight from the book of despair. Is there a burst of delight that is coming from your heart? God is faithful even when it looks dark. God is faithful and He understands our weeping. He understands the way we feel. He understands the prophet when he is coming to him in that regard. And He understands you when you cry out to Him. Great is thy faithfulness. See, we can say that about God, but can God say that about us? Will He look at us and say, great is your faithfulness? Mr. Harold, great is your faithfulness because you did what I asked you to do. You did it for me. Even though the old men were sleeping and spilling coffee and everything else, you know, along the way, there were some things that God did in those old men's lives, but yet outwardly, it didn't always appear that way, did it? No. But it sure did. The Lord's asking, are you faithful? You see, the Lord is faithful in mercy. The Lord is faithful in His compassion. We saw that in verses 22 and 23. Mercy, what a great, great word. Mercy means us not getting what we deserve. God, have mercy on each and every one of us. When we consider that, you know, here's a word that brings hope or should bring hope to troubled people. And you're in that situation today, whether you walked in here, whether you tuned in, you know that your life is in a shambles. You know it. Maybe nobody else knows it, but you really desperately want to do something about it, but you can't. You're right, you can't, but God can. And He is not asking you to fix it, change it, or whatever. He's saying, you come to me just as you are. I call that the Baptist National Invitation Anthem, isn't it? Just as I am. That's how He wants you to come. Listen, if you sit back and go, Lord, my life's a mess. He said, well, come on over here. Lord, you just don't understand. People talk about me. Lord said, come on over here. They've been talking about me 2,000 years. Lord, people are going to, I don't deserve it. And the Lord's like, you don't, but come on up here anyway. I'm telling you, come with me. That's what Jesus says to us today. Mercy, a word that brings light to those in darkness. Do you need God's mercy today? How about that other word we see in that verse? Compassion. Compassion is a word of comfort. Compassion says, I can feel what you feel. Or even better yet, that God feels what we feel. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows your every thought. It reminds me again of the Good Samaritan. Those who stepped up and did the right thing, even though it was costly. It cost time and it even cost money. See, it reminds me of Jesus and the hurting multitudes. He had compassion on them. How many times does it say that? Now, I'm going to ask you a really hard question. Do we have compassion on our world today? It's not a trick question, but it's a tough one, isn't it? Because remember what I said, I phrased it a different way a little earlier. I said, do you care? I mean, let's put it bluntly. Do you really care if people die and go to hell? That's putting it right out there, isn't it? And people would sit back and say, well, yes, preacher, you know I care. Well, what are you doing about it? See, compassion drives us to do something, doesn't it? When you see an injured animal and you have compassion on it, it drives you to do something to try to alleviate or relieve what is going on, the hurt, the pain, the suffering that's going on there. Listen, do we really care? Are we the compassionate church of Christ, or are we the meat grinder called the church? Well, I can't believe so-and-so did that. We just feed them to the chipper shredder. Are we showing compassion on a world that needs Jesus? By the way, they don't know any better. They don't know any better. Without Jesus, they don't know any better. Mercy and compassion, are we reflecting that? God's mercies and compassions also reach you and I where we are. We don't have to go after them. They reach where we are. Isn't that great? You're sitting back saying, I am the lowest thing. I am lower than the bottom of the ocean. You know what? The Lord's there. He knows that. And He is ready to lift you up. He is ready to be that light in the time of darkness or the time of the storm. He's the one that is not freaking out about your situation. I've often said it like this. God's the only person not having a Malox moment about your condition. You know why? Because he can change it just like that. And he wants to if we'll only allow him. Will we do that? You ever been in that situation where you have felt alone and in the darkness and then all of a sudden you heard a voice and just somehow that was comforting? I remember that as a police officer one time. I was doing a building search. Backup was on the way. And I mean, I tell you, I was like, this is weird, man. I just had that heebie-jeebie feeling. And then all of a sudden I heard somebody say, it's awful dark in here, isn't it? Scared me at first. I was like, only to realize that was my partner. Then I felt better. Then I had to be macho. Yeah, we got this. Whatever the case may be, God's mercies and compassions are reaching to where we are. He meets us in our sin. He meets us in our sorrow. I think about how I'd mentioned a moment ago, the publican cried out, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. What a great, great prayer. See, the Lord is faithful to all who place their confidence in him. Notice in verses 24 through 26 what we learn. It says, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know what that's saying? Just calm down. Be still. God's got it. Just relax. We are an impatient people, aren't we? How many of y'all are impatient? Come on now. Rest of y'all, you need to repent before you leave. We are all impatient. I know. I have been with most of you all at a restaurant or somewhere. We have been sitting here for 6 minutes and the waitress has not even come by and gotten our drink ordered yet. Relax. Yeah, I said we're in this instant society. We want it now. Yeah, every now and then the Lord has to remind me of something, and he uses Captain Crunch to do it. The deep philosophical life of Pastor Roy. You know why? Because see, I remember when I was growing up, they used to have little toys and things that you could get through the boxes of cereal. Now, every now and then they'd put them in the cereal. But if they didn't put it in the cereal, you had to collect them box tops, didn't you? Y'all remember that? Man, I had Mama cutting them box tops off that thing, and you had to get so many of them. And then once you got so many of them, you could send off for something. And 4 years later, it would arrive. Yeah. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Everything was done by mail. It wasn't overnight. There wasn't no Amazon. It didn't come overnight. You had forgotten you ordered it by the time you got it. So it was a surprise all over again. Don't tell me we're not impatient. We would not wait for something like that in this day and age, would we? Well, I ain't getting that. I'm going to go somewhere I can get it now. Instant gratification. We want it right now. We're an impatient people. You know what God says? Relax. Have a seat. I got this. And what do we do? Do we go, oh, okay. No, we're sitting there going. Or we start pacing the room or whatever, and the Lord's like, relax. I got this. We're like, Lord, but you don't know what time it is. Yeah, he does. Lord, you don't know what day it is. Yeah, he does. Oh, by the way, sometimes it will be in the midnight hour that he'll take care of your situation. I've looked back, and particularly recently, at some things that God has done in my life and in the life of my family, and I sit back and go, okay, A, there's no way that I ever would have been smart enough to have lined that up. B, not only this, you took care of it, Lord. There was no way I was ever going to be able to do this, and you showed up. Thank you. And you know what God says? I told you I would. All you got to do is trust me. Yeah, I want to be that guy that can get in the sleeper of life, you know, like a tractor trailer truck going down the road, just climb back there. Yeah, when God's got the wheel, it's all going to be good. Think about that for a minute. We're in some tough times, aren't we? I think about Jeremiah. I think about his crying out. Now, I want to take what we've learned today, and I want us to put it all together. See, the faithfulness of the Lord is that we can have confidence in Him. He says, I will hope in Him. You know, the Lord is good. Why do you think that we say God is good? And all the time, it's because He is. I don't say that as a cliche. I say it as a lifestyle. The Lord truly is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that is seeking Him. See, we can quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And that's not as in salvation, heaven versus hell. That is salvation, Him saving you in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your situations. Now get for just a moment in your mind, Jeremiah. Jeremiah's gone through some tough times. He's frustrated. He's, for lack of saying it better, he's emotionally beat up. He's spiritually beat up. He might have even been physically beat up. He's at the end of his rope. Now, I want you to watch the change. I'm going to take all of our verses and we'll put them together. Lamentations 3, starting with verse 18, says, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my afflictions in roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. That's the desperation. Then he says, verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. You know what he said? This is the way it is, but I'm not giving up. I am not going to let Satan win. I am not going to let him rob me of my joy. I am not going to allow circumstances in my life to dictate my faith. Verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope through the Lord's mercies, not mine, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions, not mine, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know what? If you had a bad day, tomorrow's coming. His mercies are new every day. We all have bad days, don't we? You ever have one of them days when you've been like, man, I can't wait till this day's over with? You know why? Because the Lord's mercies and compassions are new every day. Lord, this was a tough day. Praying tomorrow will be better if you give me tomorrow. Verse 24 goes on and says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. It's not up to me. It's up to Him. I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know what he's saying? Be patient. What is it that the Lord is wanting to do in your life? See, too many of us have given up on Him today. There are a lot of us who have said, Lord, you know, I'm done. I've tried that thing. I've tried to serve You. I've tried all these different things, and I'm discouraged, and I'm tired. You know what Satan says? Satan says, good, good. You know what God says? Keep on trying. Yeah? I look at Harold Callahan's class, and I say, keep on trying. Oh, yeah. Why is it that you do what you do? Are you doing it for you? Do you think you're doing it for other people, or are you doing it for the Lord? Are you doing it because He asked you to? There have been times in my life when I've said, Lord, I feel like I'm sitting here beating on this old hard rock fallow ground. Is that what you want? If you want me to keep on beating on it, I will, and I'll be okay doing that. But how about cracking the shell so that the fertile soil will produce great fruit? And He's done that too. Why do you do what you do? Oh, yeah, by the way, are you even doing what you're supposed to be doing? Remember, steel-toed boots? Are we serving? Are we allowing things to keep us from doing what God has called us to do? God is going to meet us. He'll meet you with mercy. He'll meet you with compassion, and He will meet you right now. Will you seek Him? Will you wait for Him? Will you hope in Him? Will you trust Him? Hope's a word we don't like, do we? See, we have that idea. It's like, well, Lord, I hope this will happen, or I hope that will happen. No, that's not the kind of hope
Hope says, Lord, you got this. You got it. And I'm not going to allow it to affect who I am. You got this, Lord. And I'm going to smile. And I'm going to move forward. Because there's nothing in this life that can happen to me that the Lord doesn't already know about. I'm going to ask our musicians, if they would, to take their place as we consider this time of invitation. I've said this before. It is not my invitation. It is the Lord's invitation to each and every one of us. When we consider that and when we ponder that, what is God calling and inviting you to do right now? Is He calling you to salvation? First of all, have you trusted Him? Have you given your life to Him? Has there been that time when you've said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. God, save my soul. Forgive my sins. Have you done that? Have you cried out to Him for salvation? If you have, then He saved you. If you haven't, it's not about being at church. It's not about how much money you give. It's not about all the things you do. It's about a personal walk. Have you got that with our Lord? Listen, if he's working in your heart right now, then I'm just simply going to say right now, just stop what you're doing, whether you're viewing online, whether you're here, and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I believe what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross through the death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, save me. Teach me to live for You. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you prayed that and you meant it with all your heart, it's not a punch list. You just were introduced to Jesus and He wants a relationship. How do you get to know somebody? You communicate with them. You talk with them. You communicate with Him through prayer. You communicate through His Word. You communicate through sermons. Listen, I want to encourage you. If you trusted Christ, please let us know. If you're online, listen, tell Dr. Cazito, hey, I trusted Christ today. He's going to let me know. I'll be looking through that. We want to get you some material, some information to help you on that walk. By the way, that's the first step. The first step is trusting Him, but the first act of obedience is to follow in believer's baptism by immersion. Have you done that? That's an act of obedience. Now, some people have asked me throughout my ministry, they're like, well, you know, I got baptized when I was like 4 or 5, and I wasn't really saved then, and I got baptized later, but I never followed with baptism. Do I need to be baptized? Yes. I'll just make it easy for the sake of time. Yes. See, baptism is following salvation. It is an act of obedience. And you sit back and go, well, nobody will know. God knows. Have you trusted Him in that regard? Maybe today you're like, you know what, I need to be baptized because before I just got wet. This time I'll be baptized. Maybe that's what needs to go on in your life. Maybe you're here today and you've sat back and you have been discouraged and you have been Johnny Raincloud. I don't have to ask you. I can ask people around you. They'll tell me how you are. I'll tell you one thing. How many times have you said, that's just a negative person? They don't have anything positive to say. Boy, that makes you want to hang out with them, doesn't it? No. Listen, what is going on? It's tough times. Jeremiah had tough times. You and I have tough times. We look back and we say, we're not what we were before the pandemic. And you're absolutely right. We're not. But you know what? We're not done yet either. God's got plans. Do you know what He's looking for? Maybe it's time that He's saying, it's time for you and me to step up. It's time to stop letting somebody else do it. It's time for us to get involved in what we do. Are you ready for that? Or are you going to be a spectator? Christianity is not a spectator event. It's a participator event. And it will be the time of your life if you do it right. What will you do? Maybe there's some things you need to get straight with God today. Maybe you need to say, yeah, instead of walking in Mr. Callahan's class and going, I ain't teaching nothing. These guys are asleep. They don't care. And walking out. Instead, go in there and teach with all vim, vigor, and vitality that God has placed within you because you're doing it for Him, not for anybody else. Maybe we just need to say, Lord, you know what? I've had a bad attitude, and I'm sorry. If that's you, then just bow your head where you are and say, Lord, you know what? I messed some things up. And Father, I'm coming back home to You. I pray for Your encouragement. Thank You for Your mercies. Thank You for Your compassion. because they truly fail us not. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be, as we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Listen, what has the Lord put on you? I'm going to ask you that during our time of invitation that you do business with God one-on-one. If you need the altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. Whatever the case may be. As we stand, everybody just go ahead and stand up. I know you've been sitting for a while. As we enter our time of invitation. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask that our ushers would make their way down as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Good to us. Lord, we know that all good things come from you. Father, all provision comes from you. Father, this is still an act of worship because you have asked us to return to you the tithe, just a small portion of all that you truly have blessed us with. May we be found faithful in doing so. Lord, may you give us wisdom as a church in the ways to utilize what is yours, for us to be good stewards of what belongs to you, that others may come to know you. Lord, bless the gift and the giver as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, and our wind ensemble. Just a couple quick things, and then we'll get you out of here. Just in the way of reminders, there is, and I'm assuming that is still on, 3 o'clock building grounds meeting. Is that correct? 3 o'clock. Building grounds. We'll meet today, 3 o'clock. Also, tonight, we do have our monthly church business meeting. Just making sure I've got that right, which will be after our evening worship service, and that will cover January and February, since we didn't weren't able to have a January business meeting because of the weather. So tonight will be our monthly church business meeting right after our worship service. Wednesday choir practice, 6:30 weekly. If you sing, if you don't sing, come on down, be a support. Be a choir supporter, whatever it may be. That is at 6:30 on Wednesdays. They'd love to have you be a part of that. As you see, we're trying to branch out into some new ways, and we're looking forward to what God has in store there. Is there anything I'm forgetting before we close in prayer? All right, folks, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I look forward to seeing you tonight, Awana, 5:30 tonight. So that was one of the things I needed to mention. 5:30 tonight, Awana. We're still trying to get kicked back up from the winter hiatus that we've had because of weather. 5:30 for our kids. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We thank you so much that you truly show love and compassion to each and every one of us. Lord, may we truly follow you, and may we rest in our obedience to you. Lord, we realize that there are times when things just look discouraging. But Lord, those are the times when you can shine the brightest in and through our lives. We pray that we will truly be usable in your hands. Bless us and watch over us. Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tonight.